Hey, Malka, he hadn't come on yet. This is Brandela.
Connie.
He's not on yet.
Okay, thank you. I'll be patient.
Shavua Tov, good morning.
Good morning.
No, there's others.
Yeah, Malka's on. Good morning, honey.
Yeah. Good morning, Malka. Please join me in saying the Anabaka. Anabaka Gedula Chemin Fa Tati Serura Alephet Gimel Yutat Sadi Tabel Rinat Amcha sagbenu aharenu nora ufreshayim sintet nun na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamre nun gimel dalet yud kashin Barhem Taharem Rakame Sikatha Tamid Gamlem Betedresh Saditaf Gimel Pasim Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adata Etkufbet Tet Nunayan יחיד גאה, למחה פני זוכרי קידושתה. יוד גימל למד, פזיין קוף. שבתנו קבל, ושמע צעקתנו, יודע תלומות. שין קופב, צעדי יוד תף. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Virav Chesed Ve'emet, Notse chesed la lafim, notse awon wafesha, befata avinake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parashat Yitro, it's Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the Lishem Yichud. Lushem Yehud Kud Shabarifu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Urchimu Hilu Hilu Urchimu Leahta Lishem Yud He Bavav He Yehuda Shalim Bishem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vahino Amadonai Lohenu Alena Masse Yadenu Konene Alena Masse Yadenu Konenehu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Amatar Tane Nandakucha Barichu Koma De Aved De Eila Witata Kolaihu kishot v'yovada dikshot v'leid lach mila bialma divaye barnash l'dach yaleya mineya ulan haga v'yatalana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun v'kola itzirif bialma. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. There is one verse in the Tanakh that connects to this energy that we study. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shatan Tafta willow yergas, od willow yosifu. Vene avla anoto ka asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God by saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote ala me mehe shila lahe aka aka heta ezayo ala da la awa he hea yozala me behe he reyo he kome la awa kalayo la wawa pe he la nula ha yo yo no me la he 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 wa nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nuta Anu yo he ame re he a yo yo sa. He 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he. sa ala areyo ashila meyo he wa he wa danu yo he kas he he shi ame me nu nu wa nu yo ta me be he he wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo da me be me nu ko ayo wa he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We're now going to connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa me he a he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za hey she hey me ha ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la a re yo a la me ta hey wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la hey be hey me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 10th day of Adar, Rabbi Gershon Ashkenazi, Rabbi Chaim Yosef David Azulai, known as the Chida, Rabbi Eliezer Lipman, Rabbi Mordechai Prager, Rabbi Mordechai Posner, Rabbi Shmuel Strashun, Rabbi Abraham Borenstein of Sochatchov, Rabbi Yosef Rosen of Dvinsk, Rabbi Shmuel Brudny, and Rabbi Yehoshua Moshe Orenstein. We will now connect to the Ani meditation, which is a tool to balance, to connect to balance and remain in balance. We will start with Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey. Yosod, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu. Od, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu. Netzach, yi ahini wi yohi, yi ahini wi yohi, yi ahini wi yohi. Tiferet, Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Gavura. Ya ah. Ni we yo. Ya ah. Ni we yo. Ya ah. Ni we yo. Chesed. Ya ah. Ni we yo he. Ya ah. Ni we yo he. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Bina. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Yeah, anyway, yo, hey. Hachma. Yeah, anyway, yo, ha. Yeah, anyway, yo, ha. Yeah, anyway, yo, ha. Keter. Yeah, anyway, yo, ha. Ya ahani wa yo ha. Ya ahani wa yo ha. We'll now say the Shema Yisrael in case anybody in our community has not said it. Please close your eyes and lean slightly to the right as we say there's two lines. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. We will now connect to the Esther Dibrot after we say Elishem Yehud, because we had grounded the energy with the Baruch Shem verse of the Shema. Elishem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bitchilu urchimud chilud chilu urchimud leachta Elishem yudhe bavavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu karenei aleinu maasei yadeinu karenehu. Vaydaber Elohim et kol hadevarim. Ha'eleh emor anochi Hashem. Elohecha asher hotzeiticha. Me'eretz Mitzrayim, mi'beit avadim. Lo yihye lecha Elohim, acherim, al panai. Lo ta'aseh lecha, pe'esel v'kol temuna asher b'shamayim. Mima'al v'asher ba'aretz, mitachat v'asher b'mayim. Mitachad laaretz lo tishtachaveh lachem v'lo ta'avdim ki anochi Hashem Elohecha Elkana poked avon avot al banim al shileishim v'al ribeim lishonai We'll say chesed la'alafim la'ohavai u'shomrei mitzvotai lo tisa et shem Hashem Elohecha la'shav ki lo yedaker Hashem et asher yisa et shemo la'shav Zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho, sheshet yamim tavod, v'asita ko melachtecha, v'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat la'ashem elohecha, lo ta'aseh kol melacha, ata uvincha. Ubitecha, avdecha, va'amatcha uva'uvtchemtecha v'gercha asher b'sharecha ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha'shamayim ve'et ha'aretz et hayam ve'et kol asher bam vayanach ba'yom hashvi al kein berach Hashem et yom ha'shabbat vayikad shehu kaber et avicha ve'et imecha lema'an yarikun yamecha al ha'adama asher Hashem Elohecha noten lach lo tirza lo tinaf lo tigno lo ta'ane bereacha ad sheker lo tachmod beit reecha lo tachmod aishet reecha v'yavdo v'yamato v'shoro v'chamoro v'kol asher l'reecha. We'll now say the abridged Kaddish to use as an elevator to elevate to the level of our class today, as we're approaching the holiday of Purim this week. Yit kadal v'yit kadash shemei rabba, and we all say amen. B'alma divra kirute v'yamli malchute b'chayechon v'yomechon v'chaye v'kol beit Yisrael v'agala v'zman kariv Yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitpa'ar v'yitromam v'yitase v'yitadar v'yitale v'yitalal shemei debucha v'yela min kol birkata v'shirata tushpechata v'nechemata da'amiran b'yalma Yehi shlama rabba min shamaya v'chaim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Ose shalom b'imromal hu yase shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Our class today can be found on the Astrological Times link. When the landing page opens up, scroll to where it says the preparation for the spring and summer holidays. And there's a link under that section for Purim. I'll read the actual link. It's the holiday of Purim, and it's under the preparation for the spring holidays. It's about 60% of the way down the page. That will be our handout for tonight, for today. And while you're getting the handout for your own reading, I will discuss the holiday of Purim will be Wednesday night and Thursday morning. It's all day, the Wednesday night to Thursday. The holiday of Purim, we may think we know the simple story. There was Queen Esther, there was Mordecai, her uncle, there was all of the palace intrigue with Haman, the Amalekite. He was a descendant of King Agag, who King Shaul failed to kill in time. And that simple story is so much more veiled and so much deeper. And we're about to begin to understand that by repeating a story, a midrash from the 1500s. And that's what our class is about today. 500 years ago, there lived a king in Persia who was a descendant of King Ahasuerus. He took interest in the history of his family, and he found out that the children of Israel, the Jewish people, had in its possession an old handwriting called the Scroll of Esther. This scroll describes in detail the origin of his ancestors' royal dynasty, or so he thought. The Persian king researched the details of the scroll. Among other interesting facts, he found out that it is said in the scroll that Haman had offered to pay King Ahasuerus 10,000 silver ducats, in order to do whatever he wanted with the Jews. In the end, the money was not paid. Smiling, the Persian king worked out a smart idea. He summoned the rabbis and the leaders of the Jewish community and asked them, "Tell me, is everything written in the scroll of Esther true?" The Jews did not understand the intention of the king, but they of course assured him that everything written in Megillat Esther is true. And as a side comment, remember, Megillat Esther, Megillat means revealed, and Esther means concealed. So the Megillat Esther is revealing the concealed. And this is a significant understanding to your appreciation and involvement with the holiday of Purim, to reveal the concealed. "If that is the case," said the king, "I command you to pay the 10,000 silver ducats you owe my ancestors." The Jewish rabbis tried to explain to the king that King Ahasuerus remitted the money to Haman, as it says, "The money is given to you." But the Persian king did not give in. "I am a descendant of King Ahasuerus, and you are the descendants of the Jewish people. I want the money within a month. If not, you will be expelled from your homes." The harsh decree shocked the Persian Jews. All over Persia, the Jewish leaders proclaimed days of prayer and fasting. The synagogues were full of people reciting psalms day and night, and large sums of charity were distributed. The Jewish leaders started estimating how much money they would be able to collect. Within a few days, they reached the conclusion that even if they were to sell all their properties, they would not reach the sum that the king requested. Since time was short, they were unable to send emissaries to the whole Jewish world in order to collect money from Jews outside of Persia. In their plight, they decided that the best thing to do was to send a messenger to Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, the Holy Ari, who resided in Sfat in the Holy Land, in order to ask for his blessing and his advice. The messenger set out on his trip on a fast camel and shortly arrived in Sfat. He handed over the letter written by the rabbis of the Jewish community in Persia and pleaded in tears for help, asking the Holy Ari to pray on their behalf to our Father in heaven. The Holy Ari went into his private study for a while and then returned to the messenger, holding a small box in his hand. The Ari said to him, "The Jews have repented with a full heart, and the evil decree has been revoked. There is no need to pay the ransom money. Instead, on the day of payment, the leaders of the Jewish community are to hand over the box to the king. The box must not be opened by anyone but the king. In the meanwhile, the king was very satisfied with his plan. If the Jews would pay him the money, all the better. If they did not pay him, he would confiscate their property after the expulsion and would make a profit in any case. That night, the king did not sleep well. He had a terrifying dream. In it, a mighty storm was raging outside his palace. Suddenly, the windows to his room burst open. A man clad in white with fiery eyes entered his room through the window. The king wanted to cry for help, but the words got stuck in his throat, and he was unable to utter a word. The white figure took him by the hand and led him outside through the open window. They passed houses and fields until they reached a forest. There was an open area between the trees. The white figure turned to the king and asked him in a stern voice, "What do you see in the open place?" "I see a high pole and somebody is hanging from its top," the king said in fear. They continued their walk another few steps, and again the figure in white asked the king what he saw. "I see another high pole with somebody hanging from its top. And there is another one, and yet another." "How many poles do you see?" the figure asked. "I can see 11 poles with people hanging from the top. And over there is another pole, but nobody is hanging from it," said the king, trembling with fear. "The people hanging there are Haman and his 10 sons," said the figure to the king. "The empty pole is meant for people who walk in their evil ways." A shiver went over the body of the king. The white figure took the king by his hand and led him back to the king's palace. The figure made the king sit down next to his writing desk and said, "Give up all your claims against the Jews and sign the document with the royal seal." The king wrote the document with a trembling hand, signed it, stamped the royal seal under his signature. He handed the document to the man in white, who disappeared through the window. Suddenly, the king awoke up from his nightmare. He found himself sitting next to his desk, shivering with fear, and his face covered by cold sweat. Outside, there was a quiet summer night. "What a strange dream I had," he thought, and went back to sleep in his bed. The following morning, he still remembered the dream, but he dismissed it. The messenger came back from Sfat to the Jewish leaders in Persia with good tidings. The Holy Ari had indeed helped. The Jews, however, correctly did not rest the whole month. They studied much Torah. They spent many hours in prayer every day. And they took upon themselves to rectify everything that needed improvement. Especially they asked each other for forgiveness and increased dramatically in brotherly love. When the designated day came, the leaders of the Jewish community took the box that they had received from the Holy Ari and approached the king. "Where is my money?" the king roared. "Your majesty, we have been instructed to bring this box for you," said the spokesman of the delegation, and handed the box to the king. The king took the box in his hand. He opened it and found a signed document inside. When he started to read what was written there, he suddenly screamed in terrible fear and fell in a swoon to the floor. The king's doctors, who immediately were summoned, finally managed to wake him up. Immediately, his body began trembling uncontrollably. "Oh no, it was not a dream," he whispered in panic. "The next hanging pole was meant for me, because of my behavior toward the Jews." Nobody knew what he was talking about, but when he recovered somewhat, he handed the document to the Jewish leaders and said, "Everything which is written in this document is hereby established in law. I give up all my claims regarding the debts. I promise not to harm any Jews from now on. You are released from all previous monetary claims." The Jews had light and joy and gladness and honor. This is a verse from the scroll, but it was manifested in this midrash. They immediately dispatched a special messenger in order to express their gratitude to the Holy Ari. All over Persia, the Jews celebrated parties of thanksgiving to Hashem for their wonderful delivery. This is my commentary. As we learn in Kabbalah and in modern science today, consciousness creates reality. Is this midrash true? For me, it truly happened. It happened somewhere that allows me to tap into that energy and manifest it in this world today. I can use the energy described in this midrash to defang the Persian Empire once again. That is why there can be no harm done to the Jewish people and to the nation, the modern nation of Israel, by the modern country of Iran, which is Persia. Since the king, the angelic minister known as an Elohim, has already signed the declaration that says, "I," meaning Persia, meaning Iran, "promise not to harm any Jew from now on." May all who read or hear this say, Amen. That's the end of this section of our class. I direct you back to the unique astrological Times landing page, and the first link under that we've read before, preparation for the holiday of Purim, Pesach, the Omer, and Shavuot. And when that landing page opens up, please scroll down to class 3. And when it opens up, you'll need to scroll a little bit further along, because this past Shabbat, we already had Shabbat Zachor. And we discussed that last week. But today we're talking about the holiday of Purim for the next few minutes until the end of our class. And this is a unique way of understanding the holiday of Purim. One aspect of the holiday of Purim is reversal. When things look like they are going to go one way, and then they are reversed by the circumstances. This is reversal. In a football game, the team is marching down the field in the final minutes, and it looks like they will score the winning touchdown when the star halfback fumbles the ball, and it is picked up by the defense, who races back upfield and scores a touchdown that clinches the game. This is the energy of reversal. Purim, as we will discuss, is all about reversal. Freedom is all about reversal, as we will see when we discuss Pesach. Even the Omer and Shavuot is all about reversal. The holiday of Purim starts with the fast of Esther, which this year occurs on Wednesday, March 20th. It is a sunrise to sunset fast. Know that only healthy people are allowed to fast. If you're not sure whether you should fast or not, please seek out your rabbi. Many people teach that the fast of Esther is done to help celebrate the holiday of Purim. After all, the scroll of Esther, which is telling the story of Purim, describes a three-day fast, which Esther requested of the Jewish people in those days. Kabbalah teaches that there is never an action done due to a historical event. Every historical event is related to the energy of that period of time. All of the actions done around our holidays are done to increase our connection to that type of energy. The fast of Esther is ended after the reading of the Megillah Esther, which starts as soon after sundown as possible. The fast of Esther is a spiritual cleansing in preparation to receive this energy of certainty that we get from the reading of the Megillah. Prior to Shabbat Sahur, we have doubts. Prior to the reading of the Megillah Esther, we have doubts. We have the opportunity through these spiritual actions to remove all doubts. That is from the energy of reversal. Continuing to read. The fast of Esther is a spiritual cleansing in preparation to receive the energy of certainty. That's why we do not end the fast until after the reading of the scroll. They are intimately tied together, the fasting and the reading. In order to directly connect the cleansing of doubts to the receiving of the energy of certainty. Because there is no empty space in the universe. There is either positivity or negativity. There is nothing that is empty of energy. So when we cleanse ourselves through the fasting, we remove the doubts, but we have to draw the energy of certainty. Otherwise, the doubts will return. The energy of doubt will return. God forbid. And that's why the fast ends after the reading of the scroll. The name of the holiday is Purim, which translates as lots. What is a lot, and what is the plural meaning of lots? To understand the meaning, the energy of Purim, we need to understand the meaning of the word lots. The word lot is referring to the rolling of dice, to chance, not to certainty, but to probability. We all know that people who play craps are playing the probabilities. The chance that a certain number will come up on the dice. Is there certainty in the probabilities? This is a question answered in number theory. This is a question that each of us have to ask in our lives. We here in modern medicine today, our statistics show that this particular strain of cancer, heart disease, whatever illness we're talking about, our statistics show that the chance of survival is 3%, 90%, 50%. Is there certainty in anything that is not 100%? There is always room to grow additional certainty. There is always room to remove any doubts that one has. This is something that we each and every one of us need to work upon ourselves. When we listen to the doctors with their statistics, oh, I have a good chance. I hope you do. But you'd have a better chance if you have the certainty that you will become well, that you will heal, that you will become restored and rejuvenated. But how does one have that idea when one is searching for truth? And truth can only be discerned in the physical world after the events. Certainty is when you perceive the outcome and know that it will happen prior to it happening. This is the energy of the holiday of Purim. The Midrash, another Midrash that we didn't read today, teaches that the infamous villain Haman rolled the dice to determine the best astrological day to kill the Jews. That day turned out to be the 14th day of Adar, according to the astrological rules and the laws of chance. But Haman, just by rolling the dice, was connecting to uncertainty. He was connecting to lots, to pure chance, to statistics. He was not connecting to certainty. He doesn't know when is the best day to do something. The best day to do something is the day that you do it. But what if it doesn't work out? It still was the best day for you to do it. Because the plan of creation calls for you to do whatever we're talking about on that day. Know the future is what you want it to be. But what if I don't see it happen exactly the way I want it to happen? What if I want to be president of AT&T, but the universe has me becoming president of the United States? Am I disappointed? Was my certainty incorrect? The answer is no. Because your certainty was to be president. You were just pushing the idea too far along. Trying to dictate to Hashem that you know what's best for you. That you know better than Hashem what is best for you. Many of us relive earlier days. Many of us consider, oh, if only I had done X, then this Y would not have happened, and this Z would have been part of my life today. The X, Y, and Z are just, you fill in the blanks. You put it in the idea. Because it applies to every human being. Certainty means you know what will happen. And you know it to the extent that you trust Hashem. That your desire will happen. But many of us say, I want this by Shabbat. I want this by next year. I want this. But you put all these conditions. But the conditions are not part of the plan of creation. Yes, I know. In the first days of creation, in the first 7 days, Hashem set conditions on creating various things and species of animals and insects and what have you. It's called a condition. But it's not a condition on what will happen in your life. Hashem gave you free will, gave each of us free will. Our free will is to choose certainty. I once read an essay who explained, every prayer ever uttered is always granted. Then he modified the essay to say every positive prayer ever uttered. Why did he go from every prayer to every positive prayer? Because we always speak in terms of negative actions. Choose positivity in your words, in your prayers, and know that every prayer will be answered. We don't know when it will be answered, but it is guaranteed to be answered. Every prayer you uttered is part of the plan of creation. So if your prayer is healing, and that person, you yourself, Chasvi Shalom, doesn't connect to recovering, but you will be resurrected. So you will be healed. When? At the moment of the resurrection. Understand all of our human goals. I want to earn $3 million. I want to marry this woman or that man. I want all of these wants can only be received by you in order to share with others. I want healing so that I can help others. I want wealth so I can share with those who have less. Purim is the only holiday that will remain after Mashiach. There will not be Rosh Hashanah because there'll be no need for time. There'll be no need for us to be concerned that we need to correct some past mistake, because all will be cleansed. We will be perfect, and each day will be perfect. But Purim is the blockage of doubts. Purim is necessary to remove uncertainty, to remove our doubts, which will continue because our brain is an antenna that will pick up thoughts from outside of ourselves. Please, there are 5 mitzvot associated with Purim. You can read them on the rest of this handout. The most important one, in my opinion, is the gifts to the poor. Because it changes your consciousness. If I talk to you about truma, contributions, if I talk to you about tzedakah, charity, the person giving the charity, the tzedakah, thinks that they are on a higher level than the person receiving. And the person receiving thinks that they're on a higher level than the person sharing with them. Because none of us like to consider, except when we're truly out of balance and in a depressed state, none of us like to think of ourselves as not worth it. The gifts to the poor establish the consciousness of equality. I don't give gifts to people below me in status, in wealth, they're not on my level. I give gifts to my friends. I give gifts to my family. One of the 5 mitzvot is to give a gift to the poor. Chag Sameach, Shavua Tov. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting your phones, tomorrow, Monday, at 4:30 West Coast time, we have a class in our deeper Zohar in the Parasha of Lech Lecha. And at 7 o'clock, we will have the writings of the Ari in the Parasha of Tzav. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we will have a class on the writings of the Ari for Purim. That's replacing our Tikkuni Zohar this week. At 3 o'clock, we will have our class in Advanced Reincarnation. Are there any questions? Shavua Tov. Remember to make gifts to the poor to help yourself. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.